Blog Talk Radio.
Jude, I am one of three hosts tonight. You may also know me as the Colonel or Colonel D.R. Akula, and I'm starting you out this fine Wednesday night. Show number 88. That's pretty cool. Almost made to 100. Almost. So the little piece of music you just heard, well, that is brought to you by my wife and I, me and my wife's band, Under the Dying Sun. That's a little diddly I came up with last November. Actually, kind of cool story about this. I wrote it and had a heart attack almost immediately afterwards, so that was kind of fun. So it's graciously being used tonight, well, not on my part, just on Stephen Hawley's part and the Star Chamber people. They probably took pity on me. I was like, okay, yeah, we'll let you use it as an intro for a show. So, yeah, oh, it's been a busy year, hasn't it not? Crazy, crazy, crazy. There's been Imaginarium, there's been filming of TV shows, there's been, I've been moving, and well, I'm sure Stephen Hawley can tell you a lot of things they've been up to, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, there's Hawley. Yeah, I'm here too. I'm also joined by Stephen and Hawley tonight. Like I said, it was one of three. So, yeah, what have we been into this year?
What haven't we been into? Oh, man. And that's one thing. That show had a little bit of a hiatus, and, of course, now we're back. And, like you said, 88 episodes and 12 to go to 100. And, man, we're going to have a little bit of an expanded format going forward. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to want everybody to just gather around on Wednesday nights and make themselves at home and join us just for some relaxing chat and enjoy the world of independent creatives. And that's what we've been doing this year. Hawley and I and you, Eric, and, of course, a lot of the folks that are actually involved with the Star Chamber show have been immersed in the world of indie creatives from TV shows, like you mentioned, to doing independent TV pilots, to conventions, to running presses, to writing, to blogging, to, I mean, what haven't we done just except for have, relaxing vacations. I guess that's the one thing we haven't been able to
that
do.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah, Hawley can comment on some of that. There she is.
Well, yeah, I'm sure many of them have heard about the whole Ray Valkyrie TV pilot. Filmed back in the summer, and it was kind of warm, and yeah, it was a little grueling couple weeks we had there out in fun in the sun. But we made magic. We come together and made something beautiful, and we cannot wait to show it to everyone, which won't be too long off. We have Frozen Creek Studios, who Eric there is half owner with him and his lovely wife, yes. And they are doing the editing right now. Kylie is back in a corner going to town, spending many hours a day in front of the computer working on that. And we just released the second teaser trailer, what, a couple weeks ago, Stephen?
Yep, we sure did. And, they've been working hard down in Frozen Creek. And the cool thing about it is, it's called Frozen Creek, but it never entirely freezes because the creek flows with Kentucky bourbon. So the creek never actually freezes. It's amazing.
No,
and in the winter, that's the only way they thwart snow snakes is in the winter, because the snakes get drunk when they try to go in that creek.
Yeah, it's actually a fact. If you go in the Frozen Creek Wikipedia, it states that number one. That's actually, they got this whole entire legend about how people back in the day got they just steal their bourbon from Limestone. No, they just come to Frozen Creek and just barrel it up and just act like they just steal it. I can send you all kinds of pictures and videos of it. It's quite a big scandal around here. You know, we're pretty pissed about it because they steal our bourbon and claim it as their own.
Yeah, all you have to do is just pretty much take a barrel down to the creek and fill it up, and there you go. You're ready to have some fun.
Yeah, I live at the creek.
Yeah, we definitely, Eric and I are both Kentucky Colonels, and we definitely support our Kentucky bourbon. So on the show, I'm sure you'll hear many bourbon references from time to time. I have to pass on some news. Woodford Reserve just got the official presentation sponsorship for the Kentucky Derby. Evidently Yum Foods backed off of the sponsorship, and Woodford Reserve's got it. So I thought that was kind of a little bit of a bourbon anecdote there, but that's kind of a cool thing that developed today.
That's pretty big news.
Oh, and Tony Ackery, who's joining us here in the chat room, he wanted to reiterate that he is also a Kentucky Colonel. Yes, you are. Hello, Tony.
Tony Ackery of the Mighty Hydra Publications and also in his own right a great author, who's just one of our favorite people all around. And he's checking in tonight to see just how insane our new format goes. And speaking of, we will have interview guests. We will. So don't panic, folks that enjoyed the first 87 episodes. We will have guests that we interview. But we're definitely going to take it in more of a free-flowing kind of talk show kind of segment kind of thing. And we're definitely going to be exploring, you know, like all aspects of the indie creative writing world. And that means music. That means film. That means game design. Because all those things,
yeah,
and storytelling arts, they need writers. And so, so as far as the creative arts and writing, and you know, it's a perfect segue there. So we're gonna definitely celebrate some of those spheres as well. And hopefully get some pretty crazy guests.
We just had Carol Preflatter. She joined us. Hello, Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Oh, she beat me to it. I knew Carol's gonna be watching. This is an audio podcast, so yes. Sorry, but I knew she'd be listening tonight, because when I was getting we were getting the show together, I said online to Carol, and this is true, I was like, I know Carol's going to be so excited that we're coming back, and I actually was thinking that as we were, you know, putting the show together. I was like, we can't let her down. We've got to come back with a show that makes Carol happy. So, and that is a true statement, and so Carol, we're going to do our best for you. But that's why we brought in the Colonel, Eric Jude, because, you know, when you got Eric with you, you know, he knows what's going on.
He knows what's going on.
I definitely do. And speaking of what's going on, you know, you was talking about filming Raiden, it being hot.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about this because this is amazing. The first day that we was there, it was actually a nice June day. And then when we started filming, it just became like a super sauna. That wasn't the worst part. Now, Holly and I can attest that we didn't really have any problems with critters, such as insects like ticks.
Nope.
But everybody else was infested with ticks. It was like the one year that ticks decided to have a major population boom. We had one crew member that had 17 ticks on him in one day.
That was their fault, though. They weren't listening.
I know, but, you know, this is what we was dealing with. We was dealing with the first day of filming, I was running a boom mic, and we was down in a creek bed. Well, it was supposed to be a creek, and I'm sure Stephen can tell you a good story about this, but it was dried up. So it was nothing but mud and rocks. And it was super slick. And pretty much every location we went to, we filmed in a creek bed. Well, because it looks cool. Oh, my God, it looks so otherworldly. So it just adds a massive quantity to the film. But in addition to
beautiful scenery.
But in addition to doing with the super heat, all the bugs. I actually had a few snakes on set.
Yeah.
Ticks, snakes, mosquitoes. we had... to rain that was completely unforgiving. You know, this was not the type of set that you ran to and, you know, just filmed and just go la 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 la. This is nothing to it. This was work for everybody. I mean, it was not complaining about it. It was cool to do it, but everybody there was a trooper. They really just powered through this.
Oh, definitely. And it was, like I said, Ohio Valley in June in Kentucky. I mean, yeah, it definitely gets hot.
Yeah.
And so I'm very grateful for the weather today when I finally was able to wear my leather jacket and felt good walking outside. It was I'm welcoming the cool weather, that's for sure.
We do have a couple questions, guys.
Already.
Tony Ackery's wanting to know, Stephen, if you could be a tree, what type of tree would you be?
Oh, my God. He would ask me the tough stuff right now. What kind of tree?
Outdoor question.
Here's the question. Are we allowed to go fantasy or straight, biology here?
We are creative, so I think you can go fantasy.
Well, I mean, if I was going to go fantasy, I'd be an Ent from Lord of the Rings. I mean, no question.
Oh,
that is one of the coolest tree things that has ever existed. Now, if it was just straight on, you know, our flora and fauna in the U.S., I mean, I'd have to say I love maple trees, but oak trees probably take the edge, and that's what I would like to be if I was a tree, big oak tree, because they are.
If I was a tree,
I
would definitely be a white oak tree because you could cut me down, make a barrel out of me, and fill me full of bourbon.
Good answer.
Charred oak barrel, one of the requirements for bourbon. Yep.
Yes.
And Colonel, Tony's asking, Eric, if you could be any other military rank, which one would it be?
Oh, general. Definitely general. That's one day my plans for world domination be General Jude.
General Jude. That has a little bit of a ring to it. It's pretty cool.
I know.
He is head of security on our deserted island, you know. So
yeah, if we ever get hold of our deserted island that we long for, then yeah, that's it. After working in the independent creative world for years, trust me, it will drive you to the point where you want to live on a deserted island. It will happen. Oh, most independent creatives can relate to that statement I just made. It will drive you to the edge sometimes. But
that is true. That is very true.
Do we have any more questions?
The question we will explore in the show is why do we do what we do?
That was all the questions for now that we have up there. Tony is just wanting to prove that he can, you know, have random thoughts.
Well, I actually want to know, while we're at it, you know, what kind of tree would you be, Holly?
Me? I would definitely be a white birch.
Ah.
Because that they're absolutely beautiful year round, and they stand majestic even in the winter. They stand out amongst all the trees, and they're gorgeous.
Keep your eye on everybody.
That would be me. I be a showman and be ha ha. I'm still here even in winter.
Thanks. Good answer.
Well, I'd say all the pine trees would be in there with you too, though.
Tony says I'd be a holly tree.
Oh, man. And Tony will be here all week doing shows at 5 and 7 o'clock.
<Cha-ching>.
Whoa, Mr. Ackery. He's getting us started off on a good note here. Fantastic.
They would like to do it. And actually, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about, speaking of notes, you talk about, you know, creative writing includes music. Well, you know, definitely, because that's what got me into writing was music, because I used to write in some bands and things, and I wrote a couple albums, and it's actually a lot easier to write a book than it is to write an album, because Well, for one, when you're playing the instruments, you know, you've got to hit the note perfect or as close to it as you possible, so you don't have to do a lot of post-processing work. But when you're writing, you can just let it flow. You're writing all the instruments at once and, you know, into your words. It's just, I like it a lot better. But, you know, definitely there's a correlation between writing music and writing words. It's practically the same thing. You're just speaking in a different language. Music, you're speaking in math and speaking of words.
Right.
Actually, I was talking to Holly about this last night, but I was, and y'all are going to chuckle because I'm known for my love of heavy metal and hard rock. I mean, definitely going to hear me make a lot of references in those genres as the show goes forward here. But I do have a thing for folk music, and Gordon Lightfoot, I was just talking to Holly about how if you take some of the lines from his songs lyrically, I mean, they are just some of the most brilliant, you know, well-crafted poetry, I mean, that you'll find out there. I mean, just some absolutely amazing lines in, like, you know, songs, all kinds of songs of his, you know, from the Edmund Fitzgerald, the Sundown, others. I mean, just some of the lines in there are just beautiful. So, yeah, I mean, songwriting and lyric writing, I mean, definitely. I mean, as far as creative writing goes, it's definitely something I think that, yeah, we definitely want to shine the spotlight on as much as we can. And
well,
don't get me started on Rush, though, because, by God, Neil Peart can write lyrics, can he?
That's a thing that we try to showcase with Imaginarium Convention. People, they think creative writing as only books. Well, it's not just books. It's gaming, like you said. It is music. It is, you know, you go into poetry, you know, where you stand up in front of a mic, do impromptu, you know, poetry and different things like that. But we have game designers. You have D&D. Well, Dungeons and Dragons, guess what? You got to have a story maker. You got to have your DM. You know, there's just so many different avenues that you can go down. It's not just books. Mm-hmm. It's film, of course. Steven is also a screenwriter, so he knows about that. And Kelly had a question. Steven, it's all of you, actually. Which part of the creative process do you enjoy the most?
Which part do I enjoy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm thinking.
Okay. My favorite part of any creative process is the end product, when you have it finally finished and done, because you can actually sit and look at something that you've made, that you've summoned from nowhere, you know. Before you started this project, it didn't exist. And once you're done, you made that. And if you work with other people, then all you people made it. But, you know, if you can use your mind and your hands to bring something into existence that wasn't before, that's so awesome. Now, during the actual process, I don't really care for it because I don't like the real tedious stuff. I'll do it, but like it has to be, like with music, like recording songs. I hate recording songs. I like writing music, but recording them, you mess up one note and it just throws your entire playing off and it makes you want to smash your instrument. And kind of the same with writing.
Don't do that.
When you're writing, you know, I do a lot of impromptu writing, so you write so long and then you come to a point where it's like, well, I could do this, or I could do that. Oh, I made a mistake back here. I got to scrap that and start over. And that makes me mad. But once I get over all that and get my finished product, that's my favorite. That's, you know, it's like a person who maybe would build a house. Probably their least favorite part is building the house, but looking at it once they've built it and saying, I made this.
Mhm. Sure. What's your take, Stephen?
I have to say that there's two spots in which I feel right, and that's one spot is where Eric says, you know, when you're finished and you look at the completed work, and you know it's in, especially when that first print copy, you know, arrives, and that's definitely something that's special. You know, you see it, you know, there. It's come out of your head, and now it's tangible. And the other thing that I like is when I'm really in the zone, and that's. If I'm having a really good writing session and, like, you know, the world is just gone from my mind and I'm just totally immersed in my scene. And, you know, usually I play music when I write, and And if I'm in a good flow and, you know, and I have some, you know, good energy flowing with the music and everything, I mean, it's so cool when you get in sync like that. And so that part of the process, you know, definitely is, you know, one of my favorites for sure. So that's my answer.
Well, Tony's also asking, creative question number two from George Lucas, what part of the creative process do you dislike the most?
Mine is the difference of editing. I don't like editing anything. That's why I never do it. It's the same way with, you know, making music. When you're editing, it's when you're going putting all the tracks together and make them line up. It's too technical. It's too logistical. You know, when you're editing stuff, it's just, if I had to edit all my stories, I'd just quit. But that's my least favorite part.
Yeah, Carol said it's writing the synopsis, that she hates doing that.
I was going to say, yeah, Eric just happens to be married to a brilliant editor, so, yeah, go
yes.
Figure.
It's lucky.
Yes, I guess that worked out. But, yeah, for me, I guess it's the... You know, just when you get, you know, when you have to go through a lot of research or something like that, as far as process goes, because, I mean, you know, once the book comes out, I mean, obviously, you know, one of the big burdens that all today's indie authors have to face, I laugh when I think of J.R. Tolkien or C.S. Lewis having to maintain a Twitter account or having to post on Facebook. It's just inconceivable to me that those guys, you know, would ever be doing something like that. But, for us, you know, in this crazy market, the way it is, the publishing is today, I mean, yeah, a lot of burden falls on today's indie writer to just do, you know, quite a few things, on the marketing. You have to shoulder a lot of marketing and promotion burdens. And I think that, you know, and then doing events and things like that. And I think that, you know, that having to wear all those hats, I think, is probably one of the more stressful aspects of being a indie creative today, just because you have to be everything today. Unless you get
you
got to
be a marketer, you got to be everything.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to describe it. Back in the day, people used to write encyclopedias, and then somebody would go door to door and sell them. Today, you're writing the encyclopedia, and you're going door to door trying to sell it.
Exactly.
Oh God, yeah.
And a whole other medium. You got online.
Yeah, technology has affected us all. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, film, music, I mean, books. I mean, you look at the models with Kindle Unlimited. You look at music with Spotify. You look at film with, you know, Netflix models and things like that. I mean, it's good and bad at the same time. There's more access for independents, I guess, to get stuff out in the market. But what's happened is you have this massive flood of product, massive flood. And so, if you know basic economics, I mean, your supply and demand ratios are just knocked out of whack to a degree that's just astronomical. And it's so hard to, you know, I mean, you have to be almost like an algorithm, you know, wizard to, you know, to figure out little techniques to work around the white noise of just the massive product and stuff out there. So, I mean, it's awful for, you know, today's indie artist.
You can't throw all of your eggs in one basket.
No.
You have to
no.
branch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
That's definitely
a big part of it.
I'll tell you something else that's crazy. I posted the link to tonight's show earlier on my Facebook, and it got some interaction, but not a whole lot. So I was like, huh. Because I know Facebook, if you post a link, it tries to hide your post from everybody's newsfeed. So I just made another link. It says, who's going to tune into my show tonight? And I actually caught two or three people who usually like my stuff quite regularly. Wouldn't have known about the show if not for the standalone post. So it's, you know, you're going to talk about the algorithms. Even from your own friends, when you're just sharing something, it likes to hide it, much less when you actually try to rely upon it to be a part of your livelihood.
Right.
Oh, it's a constant war. And like Facebook, I mean, one of the things I just read is that Facebook in some foreign countries right now, about, I think, 6 markets right now, is like testing. They said they say they have no plans to expand this yet, but they almost want to create like another feed for pages, not profiles, but pages. You know, so almost like, you know, to where people would have to, okay, your news feed is going to be profiles. And then if you want to see the stuff that's on pages, you have to go to another whole feed. And to even get seen on that feed, supposedly they're going to make it so that, you know, if you want to get seen, you're going to have to, you know, pretty much pay to get, you know, kicked up in their algorithm there. And I was just like, man, you know, I mean, every time you turn around, I mean, they're scheming on ways to make it even harder for the poor indie authors. And so there's a good reason why when you walk into a large book event or something like that late in the afternoon, you see all these indie authors with very disgruntled looks on their faces. Believe me, we go through just the beating all the time.
The morose look.
The morose late afternoon look, yes. But it's so true. I mean, we go through so we have to
David's,
go through so much just to get so little.
David Sheridan, hello, David, is joining us now, and he said he actually had to go to my Facebook page to find the link.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, if I post a picture of chipmunks running across my driveway, I'll have 672 likes and 36 comments. If I post a link about our Star Chamber show, we'll have three likes and maybe two comments. Just, yeah, you got to love those algorithms.
And one of the comments is you.
Yes.
David is awesome, by the way. And check out LI
yes,
Studios.
Yes.
That's David's photography and visual media company. It's awesome. And yeah, and I speak from experience now that I've gotten a chance to work with them during Imaginarium. I mean, the guy is aces. So thanks for tuning in tonight, David.
Yeah, you need
David.
A conference
definitely an awesome creative. And definitely the photographers out there are part of our world here. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he did some great author photos for a lot of authors at Imaginarium 2017. Yeah, and I definitely love what he did for them.
I can actually attest to how good his work is because I've done a lot of photography work, and his headshots are they're up there. You couldn't get a better headshot if you paid $500. I mean, so it was really really nice work that he did. So yeah, he's got. From somebody who actually knows the way around a camera, he has my seal of approval, which most photographers do not. They don't know what a. They may have a fancy camera, but they might just take photos with their iPhone. But he knows what he's doing and does top work. So, two thumbs up.
Yeah, David's one of those techie guys out there that I marvel at. He's like the kind of guy that can take like five things from like Lowe's or a hardware store, and he'll build you like a TARDIS in like half an hour. I mean, he's one of those people. And
yeah, I mean, he's got everything in his van. He's like, I can fix that. Hold on, let me go to my van. And I'm like, you're amazing, man. You're amazing.
Like, you guys need an alien spacecraft? No problem.
Let me go to my van. Oh, and guys, we are now joined by the one and only Tommy B. Smith.
Tommy B. Smith!
Hey.
No way!
He's in the house.
Oh, my God. Eric, comment. This is the man. He's here.
Tommy, I was starting to think that this show was going to be a total disaster because you didn't show up, man. Awesome. My night has been made. I can just get off this phone call now and be happy.
Oh, Tommy B. Smith is one of the true greats of our world, and he actually, I'm sure, will be a guest co-host from time to time with us again, because he'd had some great shows with us during our first run of the Star Chamber show.
He did our, what was it, the Christmas Eve special with us?
Yeah, the Christmas Eve special with us. That was not a misquote by Eric, Christmas Eve special.
It was a 2-hour show.
That was one of our longest and most epic shows. And I think we did a show with him one time where he was dealing with a tornado or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You could hear the sirens go off, and he was like, I'm okay. Is this a tornado?
I'm still here. That's dedication, by God. That's dedication.
He's so comical.
Yeah, we affectionately call Tommy the Pen of Chaos, which of course is his Twitter handle, but it's also the affectionate nickname that we use for Tommy. He is the Pen of Chaos. Wherever he goes, chaos ensues, and Imaginarium is no exception, because we always look forward to his arrival, because mayhem will usually break out in his wake.
Epic.
Well, what's everybody's drink for tonight? Tony's asking. He says he's having Slane Irish whiskey. Oh, it's not Tony. It's Rupert. He has a twin now. His twin is Rupert we're talking to.
Rupert has some Slane Irish.
Yes, Rupert is having Irish whiskey.
I can neither confirm nor deny that the Colonel and I are having Old Crow, but, you know, there's no video confirmation of this.
I won't say that I've already had like three, but you know.
Oh,
it's not necessarily true, but it's not necessarily a lie.
Yeah, Tommy's sitting out there saying, "Yeah, right, guys. Yeah, right." Actually, Carol knows us well enough to be sitting back there saying, "Yeah, right, guys. Yeah, right." So.
Ooh, Carol's having red wine. She's having the good stuff. And poor David's working, so he's just got plain old Pepsi.
Oh,
Dave. Oh, man. Well, we will do a toast to David here. Right. I will toast David right here on the Star Chamber show. So we will do it for you, David. There we go. Did it. Yeah, we will take care of all of our listeners. We will toast you on the air with good Kentucky bourbon. That is a service that we provide our listeners.
Yes, Tony says he thinks the next Books and Bourbon panel at Imagineering, he thinks he's going to sit that one out.
Oh,
you
got to no,
come watch,
come
though.
On.
You better come watch
well,
us, though. At least. that's a fun panel. That's all.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
Especially when you have to moderate another panel right after.
Yeah, I think Katina French said that we had the triumvirate or the trinity of panels, where we had cats and fiction, we had one on caffeine and authors, and then we had books and bourbon. So we covered caffeine, bourbon, and authors, and cats and authors. So we covered like what she thought was the trinity of panels.
The holy
there.
Trinity.
Yeah.
Me and Stephen worked very hard on these. You got to have some fun panels in there too, you know.
I know. Now with these new cat backpacks, maybe I'll have to bring in Doobie. Doobie. Okay, I have to explain this. Doobie is short for dubious. Not what you're thinking, people, you wild partiers out there. It's short for dubious.
The big old doobie, yeah.
But the big old Russian blue cat that we have, we with these new cat backpacks that are made for bringing your cat around, we may have to bring Doobie to the next Imaginarium and let him be on the Cats and Fiction panel or something. That would be fun.
Make him the moderator.
Yeah,
that's
he talks
true.
Enough. He'll talk
yeah,
your ear
he's,
off.
He's got a potty mouth, though. You got to watch him. He's got a potty mouth.
Yeah, late at night, he is known to like cuss up a storm. So we got to be very careful as to when we have this panel. And I think it's because he's Russian blue, so he probably drinks a lot of Tvarsky vodka late at night, and that's likely his what propels him into like these very expletive fueled rants. And but they're fun, I hear. I think they're. I've heard they're very fun.
I've heard
Eric
him.
Would know.
Mm-hmm. I've heard him.
He's heard him. Eric's heard him.
Me and him have actually had some vodka together, so. You know,
there's this wonderful new app we have discovered, and it's called Marco Polo. And if you all don't know what this app is, it's fantastic. We can now send video chats to each other. It's similar to Snapchat, but it's a little different. And you can make the videos as long as you want or as short as you want. And people, if they're actually on at that point, can view them live or they can view them later. Doesn't matter. But we're having way too much fun with this. Stephen is is just enjoying this a little too much. It's hilarious. But you can change the voices. So apparently Doobie has a very high-pitched, like, weird voice.
Well, hey, I don't do anything. He steals the phone from me and goes on that, you know? I mean, I have nothing to do with that. I totally deny these allegations. The cat steals my phone, and he gets a hold of everybody. I mean, he loves using that chat app or video app, as it were. And it is a fun one, folks, because believe me, I'm the last person in the world to want another social media type thing, another network that I have to worry about, because I have to worry about 100 million of them during the day. I mean, and that's me speaking. I mean, this app is so much fun that it even won over me. So I will recommend it.
It's a dangerous thing to put in the hands of creatives, as a friend of ours, a very talented friend of ours, said.
We have a caller, and I think that we should not screen the call. It's from the Louisville area, 502 area code. We're going to wing it and bring this person on live and play dangerous.
That's it. Let's do it.
Okay, caller, you are on the Star Chamber Show. Identify yourself.
Yeah, hi, it's Rupert, Tony's evil twin. And you've done a lot of things. I got a question for the panel.
Panel.
All right, Steven, because you've done a lot of things, you're a filmmaker, you're a screenwriter, you claim to be a writer, you do all those things. For creatives, we ought to learn more from our failures than we do our successes. What's the one or two things you see creative people do wrong that inhibits their ability to succeed? What's the kind of mistake that the creative people, because I see Tony make those mistakes all the time. I know a bunch of them. But what do you see other people making that really slows them down? What advice would you give them?
Well, two things I would say from two different angles. One is just staying consistent. A lot of people get frustrated and they don't, you know, they don't see some quick successes and they don't see some quick results or some quick, you know, money or sales or whatever. They tend to get really frustrated really quick and then they'll just kind of like fade. And I've known some people have dropped out of writing for like 2 years and then they'll come back and they're really good writers. And I think that, you know, you just have to, you know, really set your mind that, yeah, this is going to be a long haul. And it's not something that's going to be a lightning strike situation. Surely it's great, you know, if somebody does, you know, pick you up, that's a big firepower kind of company or something like that. But yeah, it's definitely a long, long kind of slogging kind of path, and it's tough. And so I think staying consistent in being a creator is one thing. And then the other thing is being, you know, appreciative and responsive to the people that are your fans and supportive of them. I think that, you know, a lot of creatives sometimes forget, you know, the interaction with fans and readers and things like that are, I mean, it's very, very important to, you know, stay on top of that and not ignore those type of things, whether you, you know, are getting, you know, by email or social media connects or anything like that. Try to really take care of the people that support you. And that's something I see a lot of creatives sometimes, you know, and you know, it's not intentional. It's not that they don't appreciate those folks. It's just that, you know, they're in their own worlds and sometimes I think they forget to, you know, attend to some of those things. And so I'd say it's those two things are the two things I would say most, I see most often, I guess, more commonly.
Okay, well, particularly when it goes to point number two, does that pertain to stalkers as well?
Well, stalkers,
I mean, do you reach out to those fans
as
well? Because,
well, I mean, I think if you really find that somebody's a true stalker type, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely figure out those people pretty quickly. And yeah, in that case, I mean, yeah, that we could do a whole episode on that. But yeah, it's best to just kind of let that just go at that point if it's a true stalker. But if somebody's just enthusiastic and just really into what you do and, you know, championing your work, I mean that's a different case entirely. And there's, you know, we all have some people like that, and yeah, that's a healthy fandom kind of thing. And but yeah, you definitely can come to know the differences.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'm I'm going to sign off because I think Tony needs more air over there, I think. I'm going to go check to make sure.
But
right,
before
so.
You go, Rupert, before you go, the lovely and talented actor Nathan Day has messaged me. He can't get in the chat room, but he wanted to tell Rupert that he's not had enough to drink yet. He's not drunk enough.
Well, tell him what he needs to do. If he's not drunk enough, I'm going to tell him what he does. Here's exactly what you do. You ready? First,
I'm ready.
Pay to go to a writer's convention. Number two, sign up for a panel that talks about books and bourbon. Number three, sit next to a guy with a bottle of Old Crow. Four, have no inhibitions. Five, make sure you know how to get to the bathroom. That way it'll take care of all those things right there.
Oh, and you've got a good assistant to help you to the next panel.
That's right. I tell you what, and if you're lucky, you can make it through that panel and still be able to, shall we say, moderate an award show, maybe? I don't know. But, you know, you really got to be able to handle your stuff. You know what I mean? So, but
you
anyway,
have to be a true pro.
That's what I would do. Yeah, you just, a true pro or be able to really walk straight no matter what the situation is. So, all right, y'all. Y'all have a good evening.
Good night, Rupert.
Oh, it's great. We have new characters forming on the Star Chamber show. This is fantastic. Oh man, Eric, your thoughts?
you know,
Eric and Stephen were actually on the panel in question here.
Yeah, I happened to be on that panel. That was fun.
Well, Eric was actually moderator, I believe.
Yeah, I was, and I won't name any names, but somebody was like, pour me another drink. You don't need your hands to talk. You can pour me a drink while you're talking. So,
well, thanks to Anton, I got some free wine. Thanks to you, Eric, I got some free bourbon. So for me, it was a win-win all around. It was fantastic. I needed it late afternoon Saturday. I mean, God bless. I mean, it's one thing to attend a convention. It's one thing to be a guest and a panelist at a convention. It's one thing to volunteer at a convention. And then it's another thing to actually run one of these things. Oh, my God. Yeah, I needed a drink at that point of the day, and that panel came in pretty handy. it was great. Oh, man.
Yeah, that panel was one of the more fun things I've done in a while.
Yeah, yeah. We need to strategically schedule that for late afternoons and Saturdays from here on out because, yeah.
Yes.
It's
yeah,
needed.
I'm going to have to make it later.
Yeah, the later the better.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it helped me get through the day. Good God.
Well, and not make, you know, a person a moderator on a next panel, you know. Not a good idea. I messed up on that one.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, that's what we do at programming. Yeah, Tommy B. Smith should have come to see that one. That was hugely entertaining, that panel. Oh, man. Next year he'll have to make time to come check that one out for sure.
You're definitely.
Because I like to amuse Tommy, and I guarantee you that panel would amuse him. So.
Yeah, he said he missed that one. He missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, Tommy would have appreciated it for its entertainment factor, definitely. Yeah, we didn't impart too much that writers could take and make of great use for their careers, but it was sure fun. It was great. Well, we had over 130 other panels that did that, like gave you useful information for your careers and your skill development, things like that. So, by God, we can have one or two for fun, can't we?
That's right.
Actually, I get up some really important information during that panel, and I'll step forward and I'll give it now. I don't tell this to a lot of people. It's very serious. It can actually save you a bunch of money. Old Crow is Jim Beam. Jim Beam is aged 4 years. Old Crow is aged 3 years. That's the only difference. It's the same stuff. Old Crow's 3 years old, Jim Beam's 4. So use that for your own money-saving opportunities. That's important to authors because we need to save money when we can.
Yeah, Lord knows, the indie author world. Yeah, it's so lucrative. So,
Well, then, what's the deal about larceny? Larceny has a similar story.
Well, larceny is, okay, Pappy Van Winkle was a legendary distiller, and today the most expensive bourbon in the world is Pappy Van Winkle 23, which is aged 23 years. If you can buy a bottle at retail, it might cost you $200-$300. But more than likely, if you find it, it's going to be aftermarket, and it's going to be like $1,500 to $3,000 a bottle. Well, it just so happens to be that larceny is the exact same recipe that Pappy Van Winkle came up with, the actual man. It was his number one whiskey. So it's effectively poor man's Pappy. So instead of spending $3,000, you can spend, you know what, $30 or less.
Big difference.
And it's a really good bourbon. It's aged between 9 and 12 years. And it's a mix, so they'll pull some from, it's 9 years, pull some from 12. And another little quick fun story about it was, it was a bourbon that they were storing, and there was a revenuer, a bondsman, who would go in at night and check and make sure, you know, because people back in the day had a bad habit of putting chemicals in the bourbons to give it the appearance that they're being aged. So the government step in and give these government officials the power to go into these rack houses. Well, a guy by the name of John F. Fitzgerald, when he would go in, he would take from himself. So he started mixing some from this barrel and some from this barrel, so people wouldn't really notice. Well, he actually, over the years, perfected his mixing, and he had started giving it to people. So word came back to the distillery, and the distillery was like, John, you've been stealing from this man. He's like, so what? What are you going to do about it? You can't do nothing about it. I'm the law. And I'm like, hold up. We don't want to do anything about it. We just want your recipe, dude, because we want to bottle this stuff. It's really good. So larceny is the result of a Frisky Lawman and Pappy Van Winkle.
Very cool. And Tommy B. Smith.
His last name was Fitzgerald. Is this the same as the old Fitzgerald bourbon, or is it a different guy entirely?
It's a coincidence, but it's a different guy entirely.
Coincidence. Gotcha. Yeah. See, folks, isn't that awesome? Like, you thought you were just going to be exploring the world of indie creatives, and now you are all becoming bourbon experts. See, we give you valuable content on the Star Chamber Show.
Yeah.
So, there. Now you guys are becoming empowered.
Eric.
We empower you. We empower you, listeners.
Tommy B. Smith is asking Eric about a 20-glass. A bourbon, $20 glass bourbon that you ordered a year or two ago. He said, what was that $20 glass of bourbon you ordered a year or two ago?
It was a little bit up price at the bar we was at, but it was Old Taylor, which is it's actually a really good bourbon. It's made by Buffalo Trace, and Buffalo Trace actually makes Pappy Van Winkle and makes Blanton's. But it was a double, it was $10. $10 a drink, and I ordered a double, so I made it worth $20. Had I really known it was going to cost $20, I probably wouldn't have got it, but it was well worth every sip.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't get a very good pour.
No, I usually, when I do my own pours at home, I do about two times much. I mean, we're double, they're double.
I'll tell you what, us indie creatives, I mean, we become experts in like I said, the pours and the camaraderie and the kind of experience of these kind of things, because, yeah, we definitely get our chance to finally hang out among our tribe, and no place is better than the Troll Pub for that. And we still got to get Tommy B. Smith out to the Troll Pub. God, has Tony been to the Troll Pub yet with us? I'm not
Tony
sure.
Tony didn't go with us.
Carol needs to go with
year.
Us one day. David needs to go with us.
Yeah,
but
Carol,
oh my God,
this year
was awesome. And see, because Carl R. Moore, who is great, just Slash of Crimson and Other Tales is his debut short story collection with a couple novellas that just recently came out. But he's a great author. He's down from New York for the convention, but he was just, oh my God, I got to have Old Forester 1870 because of him. He suddenly, he bought some great bourbons for us that night. But yeah, we need to definitely get everybody troll pubbing sometime.
Yes. Tony says he's been there several times, and Tommy says he keeps missing out, but.
No, we'll get Tommy there because Tommy would at least appreciate the food side of it. Yeah, and then he'd be amused by our behavior at it. So yeah, we definitely provide Tommy with plenty to enjoy. But yeah, the chicken waffle sandwich, which again they were out of the waffles again, so we couldn't get the chicken waffle sandwich this last trip to the Troll Pub. But it is a place that you will hear us mention on the Star Chamber show in the future because it is epic. It's epic. It is one of our favorite places in Louisville by far. So
yeah, it's a good place. So is there anything else that you or Holly is working on that maybe you can tell us a little bit about? We got like, 10 minutes left. So is there anything you want to maybe talk to us
well,
about?
For my end, I've been working on if you guys want to check us out, if you all have a Pinterest, please go to Pinterest and look up Seventh Star Press. We have a nice Pinterest page there I'm working on, and you will find links to our blog. We're getting the blog back to being more active, the Seventh Star Press blog. And then I think Stephen would like to talk about his Patreon that we're working on.
Oh, God, we're going to blow the lid off that. Oh, geez. Well, yeah. I'll think of, good God, Patreon would take a whole episode, and I think we should definitely have some call-ins on that from people that are on Patreon, because, yeah, it's definitely one of the godsends for the indie artists of today, especially after YouTube totally adjusted their ad policies and things like that. I mean, they're always making things harder for the independents. I'm definitely getting into doing a Patreon at some point very shortly here, and look out for that. And one thing that would be cool about, we are going to have a Patreon for Seventh Star Press, and you can actually sponsor the Star Chamber show and get actually a 30-second spot in the Star Chamber show by sponsoring that Patreon for Seventh Star Press. And so that'll be cool. That'll be definitely a cool offering for those that would be interested in becoming an official sponsor of the show. It's definitely a friend to the independent artist of today, because, my God, it is so hard under today's models of sales to make anything, in the world of books, movies, anything, unless you're on like a really big level. So it's definitely a very helpful thing. I am excited, though. I will be doing another visual show with Holly called The Creative's Cauldron. And it's going to be a YouTube show.
Yay.
It's going to be on the Seventh Star Press YouTube channel, and that's something that we're working on. And the debut of that comes here in a couple of days, and it could be.
It will
be
a vlog.
It's a vlog, which I'm but it's not a hour long show. It's going to be like a 15-minute kind of show, but we hope to make it a good one and to have it be very candid and very honest take of our lives working in the indie creative world. And Holly and I definitely will have plenty to vent about and share. When we do those shows.
Oh yes, a lot of the vent.
Yeah, it'll be candid and real. I mean, we're going to get real in that show. It'll be fun. Don't worry. Plenty of humor and entertainment. But, yeah, it's going to get real. So it's going to be a fun show. But it's called The Creative's Cauldron. So it's a couple new things we're working on. So there you go, Eric. That's, oh God, among the 100 million things we do, those are a couple highlights.
Hey, it's awesome stuff. I like to
and
give
waiting
a show
on your lovely wife to get, Raiden edited so we can show the world that.
She's been working on it the entire time I've been doing the show. She's been a champion.
She's away in her corner.
She'll sit and watch these clips over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And at the point that I would just delete all the footage and shoot myself, but she just isn't happy about it.
She's meticulous. That's like definitely her middle name. I mean, she is definitely a detail oriented person, which is what you want when you're dealing with that kind of editing. So definitely a very big feather in her cap. So But she's, I know you guys have been very busy with that, and that's why I try not to bug Kylie too often. But I do hope we do get her on either the Star Chamber show or the Creatives Cauldron, because I definitely want to spotlight her, going forward in some of our shows. I know that you will be back quite a bit as one of our regular co-hosts, Eric, but we'll have to see if we can somehow bribe her to be on the show sometime.
Yes.
I can maybe arrange that. I do want to kind of change it, kind of take the focus off Kylie, because it gives her too much of an ego.
Oh, yes, everybody met Kylie. That's the first thing they think of. Oh, she has really a big ego problem.
I would like to give a shout-out to Nathan Day. His book series, Orphan Surfacing, just had the cover reveal 55 minutes ago. And you can see that on Facebook at Orphan Surfacing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome cover. It about blows you away. We just got to go look at it. And he's got a
special preview. We are going to be doing the full-blown book announcement on Friday. So look for that on the 7-Star Press channels. But today, if you follow Orphan Surfacing on Facebook, you will get a sneak peek preview of that new cover by Martina Stepan. And I hope I pronounced that right. She's an artist out of Croatia who is absolutely phenomenal and did a great job on this one.
Cool.
And she's really, really cool. And we want to definitely on the show too. As things go forward, we want to have some artists on, some cover artists. Today we debuted Jacob and Jenny Floyd's Kentucky's Haunted Mansions, and that cover is done by Aaron Drown Design. And Aaron Drown is also a fantastic cover artist, layout designer. Just a great talent. And so definitely. I mean, we want to get some of these folks on, for sure, to talk about the art side of things. But yeah, there's.
We also have Jacob and Jenny Floyd going to be debuting their cover art.
Well, that's what I was just talking about. But yeah, you can see that today. That announcement occurred today. So Jacob and Jenny are Kentucky's Haunted Mansions is the name of the book, and Aaron Drown Design did the cover work, but that was released today. That information, that book comes out on November 17th. So that and then same week, later in the week, is when Nate's comes out. And that announcement officially comes out Friday, so it's going to be really cool because Nathan is supremely talented. He actually was a main part of the acting ensemble in Raiden Valkyrie, Saga of a Lionheart. He's the warrior Marcos, so he's a great actor. He's a musician. He's an author. He's one of those insanely talented people that's very multifaceted.
Tony Athery said that you should see the covers that he's designed for his publishing company, Hydra. He said they're buried in a hole in the backyard near the bodies.
Oh, come on now. Hydra covers are awesome. You guys do good cover work. Come on, don't be self-deprecating there. Maybe Rupert took over. Yeah, there's some Hydra book that has an Eric Jude story in it, folks.
Dystopian Express. Go buy 10 copies.
Yep.
They make great birthday and Christmas presents. Really, right now, go to buying Hydra Publications. Get on there and order 10 copies of the book. I'll even sign them for you.
And I'll go on record as saying I was the first person to buy a print copy of Dystopian Express at Authors Fair in 2016. Ha-ha! Love it. But anyway, that was a great moment in my time. But, oh, my God. But We had a great time tonight. The hour has flown by, but yeah, we will be seeing you guys every week at 9 p.m. And we are now going back to weekly. So yeah, definitely excited about being back on the Star Chamber show.
Back with a vengeance.
Yes. With a vengeance.
And if we had a real budget, we'd play Judas Priest screaming for vengeance. But since we don't have a big budget, we can't. Just imagine us playing that right now, and we'd have a great outro. But as it is,
yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Be good out there, or be good at it.
Night, everyone.
There we go.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Night.
Bye-bye.
Well, this thing is.